Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reppin'. I know we left here, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing.
So, you know, that's my favorite song, Phil.
Yo, I told you we were
going to do a tribute with DMX. I know, I can't. I gotta find a
version. We gotta do it right. Yeah, we got to do it right for X, man. I think that we should definitely do a DMX like show. DMX like for the first 30 minutes or an hour, just talk about X.
Yo, I'm with it. I'm with it. You know what I mean?
You know. But you know enough of with us. Like, well, you know what, Kia got a special guest on the show. So, Elliot, E, man, we need to just hush and let Kia introduce this phenomenal of ours. Kia, the stage is yours. Go ahead. Introduce who you got with us.
Let me tell you. Yeah, no, let me tell you this. This young lady can introduce herself because she doesn't need anybody to prop her up or hold her up. She can hold her own, as us ladies do. So she doesn't need me to introduce her. Ebony, please introduce yourself, girl.
So, I am Ebony Thorne. I am the owner of Guns and Black Roses Firearm Training. I've been in firearms for years. Done lots of training. That's pretty much it. I'm just all about firearms, safety, all of that.
Oh, my God.
So where are you located, Ebony? E, where's your business located?
No, no, hold on, E. I got something I got to say real quick. Before she said where she's located, what is with these ladies that come on the show that's just so modest? Talk your trash. Come on. So, Ebony, we ain't going. You got to do that.
Not,
you got to do that all over. Come on, Ebony.
I'm not
I didn't look you up on Facebook.
Really humble. I come from humble beginnings.
Okay.
I know,
okay.
I don't know everything in the world, and I know there's plenty of people that may know a lot more than me. But I am
We gonna need, but we gonna need you to kick your shoes off and relax. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you on the couch right now. You feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody, you know, nobody can see you. They can hear you talking. You know what I'm saying? We need you to be real, Ebony. You feel me? Like that.
We need you to brag about what you do. Brag about what you do. So, Kia, go ahead and introduce our guest for us one more time, because I want to hear our guest brag about her accomplishments. Because I looked her up on Facebook. I looked her up on her social media platforms, and she does a lot.
Word.
So I want to hear it from our guest. Go ahead and introduce her one more time. One more again.
Well, as I said, as ladies, we may be humble, we may be modest. However, we don't need anyone to prop us up. We can definitely hype ourselves up,
Ooh.
And we can introduce ourselves. How about that?
Ooh.
Ah.
Ooh. Welcome to the show, Ebony. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Ebony is, she's quiet, but she's moving silent. You know, like, what's the little, like, it's like a stealth mode. She's always in stealth mode, and then she's like, whoop, I'm here, I'm there. So it's like, before I actually got a chance to know Ebony or meet Ebony, it's like I would always see her. And she was always quiet, never rah, 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 loud or anything like that, but she moving silent. So that's the people you got to watch, you know?
Oh, you can't, nice, you can't nice. Really watch them because that's how snipers move. You feel me? So it moves. That's how snipers move. You feel me? So you gotta watch. You can't watch them. You don't see them until it's too late.
I'm
gonna try to talk with my DMX voice the whole night. You know what I mean?
Go ahead, Ebony. Don't listen to them. Go ahead, Ebony.
I said, I'm going to have to drop on you before you have to drop on me.
I already know what it is. But, Ebony, we know that you're an instructor. What you know, tell us a little bit more about your programs and what you do. You know, like E was asking earlier, before I jumped in, because I need to know more about you. What do you offer? Like, tell us about you, your brand, what you bring to the table. You know, tell us about you.
Yeah. So the main thing I offer is concealed carry courses. But I do know once you get to that course, you kind of have to know what you're doing with the firearm. A lot of people look at concealed carry and they're like, oh, I'm going to take this as a brand new shooter. No, that's not the brand new shooter class. That is the class to show the instructor what you know. So I also do personal instructions where it builds you up to that level where you're able to pass a concealed carry without needing extra assistance or anything like that. I have been told I'm very strict when it comes to the range. I don't play games. If we're doing a concealed carry class and you're shooting and you're not hitting what you need to hit, I tell them in my class, hey, 3 taps on your shoulder, that means time to go. We'll come back to this, you know, and that's one of those things where people have to understand the concealed carry. You do really have to know what you're doing before that day of the class, because the day of the class, you have to show your instructor all your knowledge. So I do a lot of personal instructions, one-on-one. We do gradually stepping up. We may start with a body silhouette first, and then after I see you can actually get that, then we'll do smaller targets to kind of get you to where you need to be.
Okay. I have a question. Let's say I'm a student, and I say, you know what, Ebony, your class is too strict. I don't care about your prerequisites. I just want to take a concealed class, have fun, and I'm a new shooter, so I don't need you. What do you say, how do you treat that student? How would you treat me as a student? If I'm like, no, I don't need it. There's plenty of fish in the sea. What do you say to me?
I mean, my whole thing is I tell people, that's fine. There are instructors out here that are passing people that, you know, don't have a higher qualification to pass them. But at the same time, I tell them it's real life out here. So when it really comes time to pull that weapon, are you going to be able to actually shoot like you say you should be able to shoot? So
yeah, good deal.
You can take the easy route, but it doesn't always work out.
You got to get that clap, because that's how I feel, too.
Absolutely. I definitely I agree with that. I'm not going to lie. As an instructor, when I first started out doing an instructor, here in the state of Virginia, well, first of all, you're located in North Carolina, right? Is it safe to assume that you're in North Carolina?
Yes, I'm in North Carolina.
Did you know that, you know, our very own Kia was rated the number one instructor
here
in
go.
North Carolina?
Ebony, don't listen to him, Ebony.
I'm teasing. But, you know, here in Virginia, I knew you was going to react, Kia. I was waiting for you to say something. I was just teasing. But who was that?
I mean, I wouldn't be
Virginia,
surprised. So.
Right? Kia's awesome. Like, give yourself a hand
clap.
Yeah,
exactly.
Give yourself
that's
a hand.
Why I said
look
I wasn't
him down
surprised.
In front of my computer to give you a hand clap. Give yourself a hand clap. Give yourself a hand clap.
First of all, let me tell you, when he says stuff like that, Ebony, the first thing I tell him is a lot of us out here, it's just that a lot of us, me included, we're not always, because you're not always, you know, rah-rah-rah in the front, you may not necessarily get the acknowledgement, but you still move and you do what you got to do for, you know, for you. So that's what I say. There's a lot of good instructors out here. You just got to find the right one. So
And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And I meant to tell you that when we, you know, a while ago when we spoke offline, Kia, from what I've seen, especially the group of ladies in North Carolina, because I'm not going to lie, I stalk pages. And, Kia, I go down your page and kind of see the competition out there so I can eye them out for you. All right? And and the one thing I would say is that I love the way that your ladies move as a unit in the sense of it's not – hey, I'm out here to crush Ebony, or Ebony's not thinking I'm out here to crush kids. We're a team. We may be two different companies, mm-hmm. two different structures, two different styles.
Yep.
By the end of the day, what I see on social media and how y'all interact with each other, I do say it's a beautiful thing because, you know, we all hear, I'm just saying, there's that stigma, especially our black women, that y'all can't get along. You know, that's an ugly stigma.
Very
so cool. I love when I see that is what's the right word I'm looking for? It's I don't know what it is, but it's just one of those things that it's a barrier that's knocked down, especially in an industry where it's not a lot of y'all black instructors, not a lot of us black instructors, but especially as black female instructors, I love seeing that y'all formulate a bond. So hand clap to that. I'm gonna give you all a real hand clap because I'm not on the computer to give you all a digital hand clap, but
But one thing,
I love it. I absolutely love it.
One thing I tell people all the time, one of my favorite sayings is, it's enough out here for all of us to eat.
Yeah, it sure
you
is.
You know, it's enough out here for all of us to eat. The way I teach may not be beneficial to somebody, so I will refer them to my sister or to my brother instructor. You know, like that might be better for you just because I know you can't get across to everybody the same exact way. So,
I definitely agree with that. And I don't look at the ladies that have been on the show. You know, Ms. Joy was on the show. Now Ebony's on the show. It's like I don't think of anybody like that. I'm sorry, y'all. You know, my alarm system is going off. I don't. But I don't see anybody like that. I see them as my sisters, and like Ebony said, there's plenty of you know, people out here that may like my class, may like her class, may like Ms. Joy's class, may like whoever's class. But it's like it's no need for us to fight over it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's silly. That's what people expect. That society expects us to do, and we're not gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I say. That's a beautiful thing because I've seen it. I've seen a lot of crazy shadiness happen in just a short time that I've been, I guess, a official instructor, and I don't see it a lot in the you know, on y'all side. So again, I definitely commend the bond that y'all have and share or built and continue to share. It's very admirable.
Thank you.
This side. Hey, but listen, but for real, though, like, what I you know what I'm saying, and I'm not even talking about black women. I'm talking about, you know, in general, because, you know, what Key was talking about, they want, you know, people want you to fight over it. And then you just mentioned, you know what I'm saying, there's enough out here for all of us to eat. Those two things are so key when it comes to business in general, you know what I mean? And ignorantly, too many people don't want to collaborate because we are stronger together than we are, you know what I'm saying, by ourselves. So too many people, they don't want to collaborate. They don't want to get with, you feel what I'm saying? I mean, because I know a lot of black firearm, you know what I'm saying, instructors. They don't want to work with any white firearm instructors. You feel what I'm saying? You know, I know white firearm instructors, the same thing. They don't want to work with black instructors. But, you know what I'm saying, but we're all part of the same community. You feel what I'm saying? And if we can't put our selfish preferences aside so that we can help each other build this community, then why are we here? You know what I'm saying? Then why are we even doing it? Because eventually, if we're living in the same areas, like, you know, even in the same state, we're going to run into each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're gonna connect one way or the other. So why not just go ahead and just set it up now, so that if you are in Richmond, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, I am as much a branch of Zach Tactical as Zach Tactical is of 610 Tactical. You see what I'm saying? I'm as much as a branch of Point Blank Firearm Safety as she is 610 Tactical. That's the way it's supposed to be. So, you know what I mean? So Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel Dwayne with, you know, because, you know, black women and you guys, but as far as business owners in general, you know what I mean? I just think that it's awesome that we are now moving back to what makes businesses successful. You know what I'm saying? So that's really what I feel. I really like that.
Yeah, because anytime you can put a McDonald's and a Burger King right across the street from each other and they can both make money, then there's no reason that we can't be firearms instructors and still make, you know, still do our thing. So, hey.
Exactly. Absolutely. Because think about this. Like, if Ebony's doing firearm instruction and I'm across the street, just like what you just said, I'm across the street, but we all are part of the same community or the same circle. If she just mentioned that she mostly does, you know, independent or personal and concealed carry. That's what you said, right? Mostly the concealed carries. Right. So my thought pattern is, well, I have a wider scope when it comes to, you know what I'm saying, my skill set. So I'll send them to Ebony and be like, hey, yo, Ebony, when they want to do home defense, when they want to do, you see what I'm saying? Send them over my way. You feel me? I'm gonna send them to you because those are your areas and that's expertise. I don't have to do it if I'm right across the street, or if I'm in Raleigh for the weekend. You feel me? Like, yo, I know somebody already that y'all can go see her, and you know what I'm saying. And then later on, y'all can come see me for something else. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yep.
Totally agree with
that. That's one thing. About my business, I've actually had my business for years, but I've never only made it about my business. Whenever people come to me and they're like, hey, you know, I want this type of class, if I know someone that can do it a little bit different than I do it or be able to offer it on a different day, I'm like, hey, go to that person. They're good. I stand behind their work, and that's kind of how it is, especially since I used to work at a gun store. I have a whole Rolodex full of instructors, and I've always kept in contact with them, you know, kept up with their classes and stuff like that. So I'm always referring people to other instructors because I know so many. So
no doubt. So have you thought about doing anything other than like concealed carry?
I have. Recently I've been working with someone who actually builds targets, and he has targets where you kind of graduate from each level. And so I've been working with him to try to get some targets so my classes can be more of a graduation versus just personal instruction and that's it. Like I tell most people, when you leave my concealed carry class, you're not leaving with the Holy Grail. So I need for you to still come back and practice. And I'm just trying to make it where they feel like they're getting something from each class where they want to come back. Like, hey, if I come back this week, I'm able to get this award or I'm able to get this, you know. So,
That's what's up. I told Kia earlier that I was going to ask you a couple of questions, you know what I'm saying, like when they talk about getting to know you. And one of the questions I was going to ask is what is your preferred, you know, everyday carry?
The gun I carry every day is my Glock 19.
I hear you.
Every single day.
Absolutely. So if you carry that, how do you carry it? Like, you carry it appendix carry, 3 o'clock.
Appendix.
Kidney care. Yo, you carry that appendix. Yo, that's what's up.
Yep.
Wow. So let me ask you, as an instructor, which area of carry, like how you carry it, which you feel is more effective and why?
I carry it on my right side appendix. My main reason is because it's easier to get to without having to struggle with reaching. And then on top of that, if I ever have to pull my weapon, I'm not cross-drawing, crossing across a whole room full of people and stuff like that. I'm just right on target. With my appendix carry, 9 times out of 10, people usually don't even know I carry a gun. They never see it, even carrying the 19. So it's one of those things where it's more comfortable for me.
Okay, okay, okay. So my last question is, when you carry, do you believe in carrying one in the chamber or just a full mag?
Always one in the chamber. If it's not one in the chamber, that's carrying a paperweight. That's too long.
That's right.
Too long.
Yeah.
That's two seconds too long to get to where I got to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good deal.
I can't believe Dwayne is so quiet.
I know, right?
He is really good today.
I am listening. And, you know, I figure I'm always the one talking. And Elliot, man, Elliot, you got – what do people say? Your voice is popping, Elliot. Your voice is popping. Yeah, Elliot put on that smooth voice today. He's like, yeah, what's your favorite way to carry? You know?
Hey, look, nah, yo, I'm trying to stay in my DMX tone. You feel me? So I got to get a little bit more
– Yeah.
I'm trying to stay in my DMX tone to honor DMX. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, Ebony,
I have a question for you.
I have a question for Ebony. So,
okay,
Ebony, as
okay.
an instructor, huh? What'd you say, Dwayne?
I said, go ahead.
I said it just like that.
Okay, I just had my one question. So, Ebony, as an instructor, what do you think is aside from the people coming to the conceal and carry class thinking that you're going to teach them how to shoot, what's the biggest, pet peeve or the biggest issue that you see with people, like with new students that are coming to your classes?
Yeah, that's a good one.
My biggest pet peeve would have to be, I want to say people don't really listen very much. You know, you tell them one thing, and I swear they leave your class, and they have a whole different idea of what you said, and you're like, when did I say that? Like, what? Where did that come from? You know, just really listening and taking in what you're actually saying. Yeah, that's one of my biggest pet peeves, people just not listening.
I
agree with that.
I can definitely see that. Yeah, because that's definitely one of my biggest
pet peeves.
They
already
well.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you always get them. Like, if you're an instructor and you don't have one person in the class telling you your job, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's always.
Yeah.
Oh. I got a question for you, Ebony.
And being an instructor is... How you just going to cut me off?
No, my bad. See, I got a little bit of a delay on my side. So my bad.
Oh, no, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. You keep talking about that popping voice today.
I was just going to say that my biggest pet peeve is, not pronouncing parts of the firearm correctly. this guy, he was doing a demonstration of how to, release the slide, you know, when reloading or loading, and he called the slide lock a slide release, and I was like, oh my gosh, like how many times do I have to hear people say that, and that's just not correct, you know what I'm saying? Because I was telling Kia, I said I think that I need to do a video explaining how that works as a gunsmith, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that once your magazine is no longer has any ammunition, the follower pushes up the slide lock to lock the slide back so that it indicates you are out of ammunition. So I was like, yo, I need to do a video on that because terminology is huge for me. Like, please tell me the right way. Cause I don't want to sound crazy in conversation, you know what I'm saying? Talking about AR being a standing for assault rifle. Like, what? That's not what that stands for.
You know, and I think that's one thing. I think the only reason why that doesn't get under my skin is because I was at a gun store for so long, and, you know, you have your novice that come in and stuff like that that just really don't know. So I always had people coming in, hey, you have the extended clip. Like, Lord have mercy, here we go. You know, and, AR, that's an assault rifle. Here we go. Let me take you on a lecture, you know. So it's one of those things where I kind of got used to it, I guess, because people always did it. And it was one of those things where I'm like, I know you don't know, but let me just school you real quick. That's not what that is. You know, AR does not stand for assault rifle. And it's just one of those things. It really doesn't get under my skin because I know a lot of people do it. And no matter how much you preach it, it's just, it never changes.
Yeah.
Man, she's a nice person.
Yeah.
Nice. But, you know, Elliot would be ready to cut somebody. He'd be like, assault rifle. Elliot would be like, cut him. Cut him.
That Marine come out of a boy.
Every time.
He'd be like, let me go ahead and load these bullets into the clip. Elliot would be like, oh, my God, no.
Hey, you know why, though? I'm going to be honest. The reason it bothers me so much is because the media has been pronouncing things incorrectly for so long. I believe that's how they've been able to manipulate people into, and you know what I'm saying, into their own understanding of firearms. You know what I mean?
The same, same people that sell the panic sell the pill. Believe that.
Right.
Yeah, that's a damn truth. So, Ebony, what's one of the craziest experiences you've had so far as an instructor?
Oh, craziest experiences. I've had crazy questions, but most recently I actually had someone on the range. They were out there shooting, just shooting a weapon. And one thing I always tell everybody, I always tell people safety, keep the gun pointed downrange. Don't turn around with the firearm in your hand. If you end up pulling the trigger and it does nothing, keep it downrange for 30 seconds. And, you know, then I'll come around and make sure I help you out. And so the guy pulls the trigger. It doesn't go bang. He goes to turn around with the gun. And literally before he could even turn around, I just went ahead and, like, had his arm pointed downrange. And the gun ended up going off. And I was just like, at that moment, I was so happy because one of my inner peace sisters was there, who's also an instructor. And, like, so she saw what happened, and I was like, I need a moment. Like I just need a moment because things could have went so much worse. And it was just one of those things where it takes a lot to frazzle me. Like, literally, I'm that person you can have in a burning building, and I'll walk through the flames like nothing ever happened. You know, I'm very calm.
Right.
And so when that happened, I was like, I need a moment because in my mind, I'm like, I'm probably going to end up cursing him out because I'm beyond pissed off that he even attempted to do that. But then at the same time, I'm trying to remember he doesn't know any better. It was just so much.
Yeah, that would have frazzled me as well.
That sounded like that would have stressed me the hell out.
Yeah, I would have tackled him. I ain't going to lie. He would have straight got shoulder checked. We would have ended up on the other side of the table, everything, yo, for real.
Yeah, he was a Hispanic guy, and I actually had a translator in my class for him. And so it was one of those things where I'm like, hopefully they translate it properly. And it was just scary. So.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. That's like, that makes me think about that instructor that went to clear his firearm or the lady's firearm and ended up shooting her in the chest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was insane. And, yeah, that, Oh my God! Talking about firearms doing crazy stuff. Did y'all see the? Do y'all remember the video of that one instructor shooting a revolver? He was talking about, you know, trying to teach him how to shoot a revolver, and he pulled the trigger by mistake and hit him in the face.
Yeah, that was scary.
They made a meme out of that saying, when you lie on your resume and get the job.
Yes. Hey, look, the moment he would have slapped, that gun would have slapped him in the face, I'd have walked out. I'd have been like, I'm done.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No,
crazy.
I mean,
that is so crazy.
And I
so
think
I
when
know
it comes to gun safety.
Go ahead.
What were you saying? No, I was saying when it comes to gun safety, I'm such a stickler because the trainer that actually taught me, he was a Marine, and he was very hardcore, like, gun safety. So it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't play when it comes to gun safety.
And you shouldn't. And you definitely shouldn't.
Yeah.
I call myself a stickler, too. Today I felt a little bit overwhelmed, but Kia told me, you know, before we started the show to, you know, just prepare to always be ready. You know, get the mindset that always be ready, no matter what, be ready, be prepared, be prepared. So that's that. Today was a learning lesson. But outside of that, I do consider myself as a stickler for safety. I know Ian Kia does as well. What's your favorite long gun? I mean, you said earlier you're carrying them. What's your favorite long gun?
Right now, it is a Springfield Saint. I love my Springfield Saint. It's one of my favorites.
What is it chambered in?
It's in 5.56.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
well,
I love it. It's fun to shoot.
I'm going to say something real quick. don't get mad at me. So... You know the term long gun is considered for like sniper rifle type. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
Don't pay him no mind.
We were just talking about terminology.
It's fine. Yes,
yeah.
I understand. But as far as long
gun, let me tell you this, Ebony. He's a Marine. He ain't right here.
Oh man!
Yes.
Because when he said long gun, I was like, "Oh snap!" As soon as he said long gun, I'm thinking, "Oh, she must shoot like a 6.5 Creedmoor or a 308 or you know what I'm saying, or 243 or 30-06 or 25, or you know." And when you said 5.56, I was like, "What? No, wait a minute. All right, see."
So I will have to. Okay, so if we're being you know, correct about it, I will say it's still going to be Springfield, the M1A 308.
Oh, wow, yeah. Got you. Yeah. You're talking my language there. I like it. Yeah, that's a nice gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question.
That is a beautiful gun. I do like that gun.
Yeah.
One of my favorite guns. I haven't shot one, though.
There you go.
But, really? You know, I've dreamt about that gun several times. So, in my mind, that's my favorite gun.
Yeah, you got to get one. You got to get it and shoot it. You definitely have to.
Yeah.
I can't wait. As soon as Elliot invites me out his area to shoot, then I'll get my butt out there. But question about yourself.
Hey, yo.
Is there any kind of work you would like to do in your thing, or are you like big on customizing or anything like that of ARs or your firearms?
I'm not really too big on that. I haven't really my ARs are basically standard iron sights.
Okay.
I do have an EOTech. It's really just standard when it comes to my firearms. As far as the AR-15 platform, my Glocks, all of them have had some type of work done to them, polish trigger, a trigger disconnect, stuff like that.
Okay.
But as far as my AR-15 is just very simple.
So the main reason I ask is because we are partnered with this awesome company called 610 Tactical that can fully customize any gun that you have.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, awesome
100%.
And when I tell you that this gentleman, he does phenomenal work. So whenever you're ready, you know, reach out to that guy. His name is just so happened to be Elliot as well. Incredible gunsmith. Dude, that's rated the best on the East Coast 2 years in a row. So,
yeah,
so definitely when you're ready, definitely go check that guy out. Folks, we are looking at 905. Call in. We have Ebony here from Guns and Black Rose. Call in. Pick her brain. She's a phenomenal instructor. Phone number 845-241-9979. 845-241-9979. Hey, y'all, I got something I want to share with y'all. Y'all want to hear this craziness?
Yeah,
please.
I went to California this weekend. We went out to go see some family. My wife is from the Bay Area. For those of the callers that live under a rock and don't know what the Bay Area is, that is the San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, Sacramento area. Even though Sacramento and San Jose are really not the Bay, but either way, that's the San Francisco, Oakland area. So we went out. We left Friday, came back Monday morning. When I tell you, folks, I was so stressed out being over there because I didn't take my firearm with me because there's no point. I can't conceal it in California, right? Can't conceal. We don't share reciprocity with California. And I didn't want, and I know I can fly with it the legal way and everything. They have a magazine capacity. I have my concealed carry is a Glock 27. I carry 9 rounds, so I'm 1 round under the legal magazine capacity out there. But I didn't want to even worry with that. That's California. I don't want to get in no gun issues in California. When I tell you, I was so stressed out everywhere I went in California without my firearm. I would have never thought that me not having my concealed carry weapon on me was such a stressful, would have been so stressful. So my question to y'all, when was the last time, whether it was a mistake or you know, with intent, that y'all carried, that y'all did not conceal? And how did that make y'all feel?
Oh, God.
The last time I did not conceal, it made me feel weird. During the week, I actually work at a courthouse. And so, unfortunately, I cannot conceal at my daytime job. And it's one of those things, parking is about 10, 15 minutes away. So every day I'm, like, anxious to hurry up and get back to the car because I'm like, what if something happens on my way to the car and I don't have anything? And as you said before, you've seen my social media. I am on social media a lot. A lot of people know my face. One day I was walking to my car from my job, and some people pulled up in a blacked-out van. Whole van blacked out. It was my birthday. I remember, and I could see them because the windows were tinted, but I could see them pointing in my direction. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know, because I always think, I'm like, someone's going to try me one day. Someone's going to try it just to see what the heck, you know, she's always shooting. Let's see if she really knows how to shoot. So they rolled down the window and said, oh, because a rapper has shared me for my birthday and said, happy birthday to Ebony. And they said, oh, you're the rapper. You're the person that so-and-so shared and this and that. And I said, yeah, it was like, oh, happy birthday. And it was a friendly thing, but in my mind, I was like, oh man,
right.
This ain't so good.
that would have rattled my nerves.
It's one of those things. Every day I have that separation anxiety from my gun.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I thought I was starting to feel, you know, I feel like when I didn't have my firearm with me every day this weekend, I just couldn't wait to get back to Virginia. And I love California. I just haven't been there in 13 years, you know, and I love it. But when I got out there this particular trip, I was like, I was bouncing back and forth between condition yellow and condition orange, back and forth. I'm like, all right, where's all the exits? My wife was like, we're outside. It don't matter. I need quick beeline to the car in case I can't protect you. And California even have strict laws against having knives. The knife I have that I carry is considered illegal in California. So I'm out there with just my bare knuckles, and I'm not the biggest guy. Elliot's like like 6'12", 529 pounds. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
I'm a small guy, you know. So, but I brought up California to say that when we got off the plane and we went to get our car, and this law, I don't – please let me know if you all have heard this law. My wife went and got the rental car, and the rental lady, after we all, like, you know, met up at the car, she came back over and she was like – something along the lines like, hey, just make sure that when you, you know, kind of like go straight to the hotel, make sure that you don't leave your stuff in the car, especially in the San Francisco area. Make sure you don't leave any personal belongings in the car because it's very high theft. Apparently, a bunch of years ago, I think like 2012 or 14, one of those years, they passed Proposition 47, which reduces I'm going to get more detail on it before the show is over. But all in a nutshell, what we were told by law enforcement and by that lady, people can, in a weird way, legally break into your vehicles or steal your belongings, and you technically can't do anything about it because law enforcement don't do anything about it. So if someone's breaking into your car and you see that, you just let them break into your car. And you don't even call the cops. You just go and file a claim. Because the way the law has it situated, set up is it was passed because they deemed that if someone's breaking in and taking your personal belongings, they probably need it more than you do.
Wow.
So when I heard that, I was like, what the hell? I can't wait to get back to share this at point blank. What do y'all think of some craziness like that? And it's also
I need to know the exact details of that.
Yeah. They're actually trying to pass something like that. I wanna say I don't remember what state, but I'm gonna look it up and share it with you guys as well. But what do y'all think of stuff like that? Like laws like that? And that's not a direct definition of Prop 47, but that is pretty much what the people of San Francisco look at Prop 47, and that's how it's being treated. So what do y'all think of a situation like that?
But if you look at that, that's kind of like what they're trying to do with almost everything. Let the criminal get away with it, and you know what I'm saying, and you follow and obey the laws. Don't defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't protect your property. Don't, you know what I'm saying? You know, you make sure you're doing the background checks. You make sure that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, like, that's what they're doing. Like, they're making it easier for the bad guy to be the bad guy. That, I mean, and I hate saying it like that, but that's just what it's all like.
And that's true. I think the part that threw me off was the part that said, well, you said they needed more than me. So I think that's what the part that threw me off. But, yeah, pretty much. But go ahead, Abby. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but what I, like, North Carolina sort of, kind of, I won't really say they have a law like that, but they do have the Castle Doctrine, but at the same time, you cannot protect property solely. So
yeah,
I'm guessing it's in that same line, you know, when it comes to property, it's kind of fair game is what they're saying.
Yeah.
But they do have a law that states you cannot use deadly force to stop a thief before, during, or after a theft.
That's right.
I mean, you're like, okay.
So we're at point. I'm okay with something like that because, you know, there's still some sort of – I like the fact that you can't shoot a thief. I'm going to be completely honest. I know a lot of my 2A brothers and sisters are going to be like, hell no. No, hear me out. It's because I feel that when we start opening up the floodgates for certain things, we start going down, like, laws are so easily twisted. And that's something that can be used against us, right? Hey, this person was stealing. Bang, shot him. Who's there to defend that? There was a thief. There's no, okay, cutting self-defense. So I kind of like, I'm okay with that to an extent. But from what I gained from in California is I felt like I could have been violated and it'd be okay. And no one bat an eye, you know. And then when you toss in the fact that no one has a firearm out there legally, all the bad guys have firearms. Especially in a place like San Francisco, which is very, very, I don't know if the right word is liberal. I might be using the wrong word, but forgive me if I am. But they're very anti. They're very anti-gun in that San Francisco Bay Area. So just being in that surrounding, I felt so out of my. I felt uncomfortable. But I'm glad to hear that I'm not paranoid, because I started to feel paranoid, and you guys are kind of on the same page with, you know, feeling naked when you don't have it concealed. What's the law that's coming now that kind of grinds your gears, Ebony?
You said what?
Yo, Dwayne, no, be switching topics on us before we get the response.
Oh, my bad,
man.
E.
Hold
my bad,
bro.
E. Go ahead, E. No. Go ahead. My bad, E. Go ahead.
Hey, look. Like, hey, see? I mean, yo, don't get me wrong. If I can see somebody, you know, I've been homeless, so I understand you got to do what you got to do. Don't get me wrong, right? But what I never did was take someone else's belongings. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you work hard for that. You feel what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to steal it because I need it or even think that I need it more than you need it. You work hard for that. That's why you bought it. That's why you get what I'm saying? And yeah, people are ungrateful when they have a lot, but that ain't my place to judge them and to be like, yo, I'm gonna go ahead and take it, or to even say, yo, let him take it because he needs it more than you need it. That's not your place. You know what I'm saying? So that's my thing. Like, no, like if you know, I respect that we can't shoot a thief. You feel me? I respect that because that's the law. But in my heart of heart, if that wasn't the law, hey, yo, you're going to catch it like everybody else catch it, because you take it up to something that don't belong to you. You know what I'm saying?
And
so that's
you know, I
think
I can go with that, E. I'll take it back. I like that verbiage better. I respect that. I respect that you can't shoot a thief. I think I like that better than what I said earlier.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, well, what do you think, Ebony? Where do you stand, you and Kia, around shooting a thief?
Well, I feel the same way. Like I tell anybody in my class, make sure you have full coverage on everything.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to property alone, I don't feel like, personally, that's a reason to take someone's life. Because at the end of the day, that's someone's child, that's somebody, and I get what they're doing is wrong. I get it. I get that 100%, but all of that can be replaced, but a life can't. So that's one of those things. That's how I feel on it.
And I feel the same way. Like, and when it comes to property and stuff like that, you know, it's like if you really sit back, you know, because we talked about this before. It's like conditioning your mind to know that you may have to take a life. Well, I'm going to take a life for a really good reason, right? It's not going to be because you snatched my purse or, you know, something like that. It's going to be because I think that you're really trying to hurt me, you know what I'm saying, or hurt my child or something like that, or break into my home and do something. We don't know what you're going to do when you get in here. So I think that for me, you know, when you put it all in perspective, a purse, stuff out my vehicle. Because even when you talk about California, when I lived in California, I think my car was broken into every day to the point I just started rolling my windows down and leaving them down. I put a Bible on the front seat,
so
and I
sad.
Said, if you want to take this, this is what I said. I said, if you want to, I put a note on the Bible, and I said, if you want to take this, you can because you need it. So it's like they would take all this. They took out the change, out my ashtray, I mean, everything. So it's like I was, you know, to me, it's just like when it comes to property and stuff like that, it just doesn't. Like, it's not, I just didn't want to break my windows. That's why I rolled the windows down. I was like, hey, I'd rather you just come in here and get what you want to get out than to try to, they couldn't take the car because they had like the club thing. Well, I know there's ways now to get around that, but back then, you know. But it was just like, you know, I just didn't want to break my windows. So, but yeah, it's when it comes to property, I just don't think a property is worth a life. Not that.
Yeah. I agree with that as well. I agree with that as well. That's crazy that you said they broke into your car every day, and you're just like, eh, come and take the Bible. It's just so sad.
Right, I did.
It's just so sad. So do y'all, as a group, all three of y'all, are y'all do y'all believe that a city, those cities that, you know, like Virginia, North Carolina, we don't have the strictest gun laws compared to places like a California, New York, Illinois, and stuff like that, right? Do y'all believe that if there's a firearm in every household, that would definitely decrease crime?
Oh, I believe it would. If people okay. knew, I mean, if people knew, I mean, imagine, right? How many people you know going, you know what I'm saying, going to walk up into a police station and become an active shooter, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not going to walk into a military base and try to, you know what I'm saying, set off a bomb, you know? And I'm just using an example, whoever's trying to listen, I ain't saying telling nobody to do anything, but you understand what I'm saying? Where people aren't going to go where they know people can defend themselves. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They always choose – that's just a predator. They always choose the weakest of the bunch. So if every home in America had a gun, it would be, in my honest opinion, it's either one or two things going to happen. It's going to be a higher rate of firearms stolen or – Less home invasion.
I agree.
How about you, Ebony? Where do you stand with that?
I feel the same way. Like, there's actually a place in Georgia, and I don't want to say the name wrong. It's Kennesaw or something like that. Where everyone in that town owns a firearm. And their crime rate is, like, so low. And I think, actually, when you enter into Georgia, into that part of Georgia, they actually have a sign up that states, you know, that almost every homeowner owns a firearm. And the rate is so much lower. Yeah.
Now, we have the guy that calls in and tells us about that city. I think it's Kennesaw.
Yeah,
my wife was actually looking that place up. We might be moving to Kennesaw, y'all.
I was just thinking the same thing. Like, yo.
Yeah,
can you imagine that sign? That sign probably said, hey, yo, you chose the wrong house. You know what I mean? You chose the wrong community.
You chose the wrong city. Chose the wrong city.
Yeah.
I'm in the city with that mess.
If everybody in the community owned a firearm, so if you break into your neighbor's house, and they can't get you, their neighbor might be able to get you, you know.
100. Yo, that's crazy. Yeah.
Right.
Yo, I love that. I love that concept because that, to me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember, y'all, I referred to the movie The Incredibles, right, and how Syndrome said that he wanted to sell all of his products because he wanted to let everybody become super. And then he made the statement at the end, when everybody is super, then nobody is. You know what I'm saying? If
That's
everybody
right.
here
right.
has the means to defend themselves, then no one will have to defend themselves. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's my thought on that. Like, if we all got it, then ain't nobody got it. You know what I mean? I mean, you still got to worry about the jokers with the temper and the cats that just want to pull their gun and just be shooting. But in a city like that, I'm almost certain if they all own guns, I'm certain that the majority of them are trained and understand the responsibility of having that firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I agree.
And the thing of the matter for me is that I feel like a lot of things could change if more people owned firearms and they were actually knew how to use them. Like even in some of these mass shootings, these shootings where, you know, like we were talking about, I think a few weeks ago about the FedEx shooting. It's like, hey, if someone of one or two people in that building had a gun on them, he wouldn't have gotten that far and been injured or killed 8 people. So it's like the more people. And I think, Dwayne, was it last week we were talking about, I can't remember the website now, but basically they decided that they would start reporting the number of people that were saved due to someone having a firearm on them, like a conceal and carry, and how many times a crime was prevented due to someone using their gun correctly. And it's like, I think that we see that more.
I think less people would stop thinking, guns are so dangerous and they need to be banned and this and that, if they saw how many times people actually use their firearms for good.
Yeah. But our media, we know that our media is just not, they don't, that's not how our media functions. Like, they're not trying to, you know what I'm saying, give anybody any credit. They completely and absolutely trying to maintain control of whatever or whoever the source is giving them their, you know what I'm saying, their provision. You know what I mean? So it's just, they're not going to do that. And that's just crazy to me that, you know, you would say, oh, well, yeah, well, you know, there should be a ban, you know what I mean, on firearms. Because I had a conversation with a couple of people the other day. I was like, yo, do you realize that if they ban AR-15s and they put a restriction on ammunition capacity, that eventually they're gonna, you know, it's gonna trickle down to firearms as well? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it was, and their response was, but nah, that's an automatic weapon. I said, that is not an automatic weapon. Like, that is a semi-automatic weapon. It's a semi-automatic, just like my Glock 23. And they were looking at me in complete, like, stumble. Like, what? Like
right.
No way. I'm like, yes, it is. That is not an automatic weapon. I said, first off, you need a tax stamp or some kind of personal, approval, government approval to have a automatic firearm. I said, but you semi-automatic, a shotgun, a rifle, a pistol. These are all in the same category. They're just different styles of semi-automatics. Well, I don't think somebody should have 30 rounds. I said, well, why are you walking around here or celebrating these dudes that have these 30-round clips in their Glock 19s? You know what I'm saying? Like, you think that's gangster, but you're telling me that it's not okay for someone to have 30 rounds in an AR-15. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, very true.
The media sells what they want to sell, and they make people afraid of it, like, and that's just how it is. That's where we can talk forever, and people still just look at it. There's so many people that still talk to me, and I'm like, yeah, AR is not an assault rifle. Let me give you the real definition of an assault rifle. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Well, you never researched it or actually tried to look it up or actually try to figure it out. You just took what they said and ran with it and thought that had to be it. No?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They absolutely did.
That's what happens a lot, and I absolutely hate to say it, but I feel like our community is guilty. Our black community is guilty of going along with that as well, you know? And I know we definitely we villainize firearms, you know? We definitely villainize firearms, and we villainize the folks that go out and legally obtain those firearms before we even ask any kind of questions. So to my African-American black listeners out there, don't villainize your neighbor for having a firearm. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and it's so bad in a place like Brooklyn, New York, or just New York as a whole, that if I went to a friend's house and their parent had a gun, it didn't even matter if it was legal. I was no longer allowed to go back to that house. How crazy is that?
Wow.
Right? My mom found out that Uncle Jerry owns a gun. Guess what? Not allowed. You're not going over to Uncle Jerry's house anymore.
Wow.
Automatically. And it doesn't matter how much training they have. I remember when I told my mom I was into firearms, she pretty much was like, I'm never coming back over to your house, Dwayne. I'm like, why? You think the gun is going to jump out of the safe onto the table next to you and the trigger is going to fall back on its own and shoot you? Not how that works. Not how that works. So,
Yeah. When I first got into firearms, I had people calling my mom. People would call my mom when I would post stuff on social media and say, Ebony's in the terrorist.
Wow.
Like literally they were calling. My mom didn't even have a Facebook. Like, they were calling her, like, is Ebony a terrorist, this and that. And I'm like, all of my guns are legal. Like, I'm confused.
Right.
Why would y'all even think that? You know, I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to blow off these heads. No. I'm just posting, hey, look at this gun. It's a nice gun. You know, things like that. But they would actually call my mom and ask her, was I a terrorist?
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, my mom doesn't like firearms, but she will refer people to my class. She doesn't like them. She just how she said, because every time I've ever seen my daddy, she said when she was younger, her daddy used to kill, like, the animals on the farm or whatever. And so she's like, I just didn't like it. And, you know, so she just doesn't like them, you know, and she feels like gun violence or whatever. I was like, Mommy, but you know it's not bad guns. It's guns, bad people. And she was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I still don't want to do it. So... And I did find that website, too, you guys. This website is committed to reporting defensive gun uses in the United States. In the last 90 days, it was 125 incidents of people using their guns in a defensive way in the United States. And I find that very interesting. I've heard of none.
Wow.
Yeah. Or if
so
it does
it's
happen,
it's heritage.org.
Local media. No, what
is
that site again? Nelson, what's that site again?
It's heritage.org.
That's what it
and
was.
And they are committed to making sure they report it. They're not as up to date. The last time they updated was the 10th of May, so I'm sure there's been more since then. But they're committed to talking about, you know, when citizens use their firearms in a defensive way. And, you know, there's, if you look at, click on the map, it's like it's the interactive map. There's been some home invasions that people were able to avoid, you know, things like that. And those are the things I'm sure if the media actually reported them, people will be like, wait a minute. So maybe I do need a gun to protect my home. Or maybe I do need a gun to keep from getting, you know, keep from somebody harming my body or harming me, you know, things like that. So, but those things are not portrayed, only the bad things, so.
Yeah. Well, that's why the good Lord has raised up Point Blank Radio because
I know, right?
We're gonna start sharing the information.
Yeah.
Point Blank. That's a good anthem right there. Point Blank. Point Blank. That's something that you would see in a Spike Lee movie, or you hear in a Spike
we
Lee movie.
We have a caller, you guys. Let's answer this call right quick. Let's see.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We have a caller. Let's see. Caller, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
How are you today?
You call me Sarge. I'd like to preface my comment by saying that I am a three-war combat veteran, Vietnam, First Gulf War, and Operation Iraqi Freedom. I spent 5 years on active duty and 21 in the National Guard. I was a state police officer in Illinois, and I was a certified firearms instructor, SWAT team member, and innumerable other firearm-related activities. And of course, you know, I was also a tank gunnery instructor when I was in the Army. And I don't think there's any subject, any, other than maybe COVID-19, upon which there's more misinformation. It almost sounds as if we're living in a combination of medieval superstition and cult-induced hysteria with regard to firearms usage, both legal and illegal, the nature and design philosophy behind firearms in general, and just sheer outright foolishness from legislatures and others, even police chiefs who ought to know better. It's beyond belief.
Hello now.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, it's like from the craziness you hear about people saying things like that. But why didn't they just shoot him in the leg? Or, you know, you know, an assault weapon is a weapon of war and all this other nonsense. Just utter idiocy.
Yes.
The AR-15 is quite
absolutely.
Literally the modern-day version and equivalent of the Brown Vest musket that the Minutemen use in a Revolutionary War. It is the most appropriate weapon I can think of for a citizen to be prepared to use to fulfill their duty as a member of the citizen militia that the Second Amendment says is necessary to the security, being necessary to the security of a free state. But yet we have all the insanity with the crazy politicians.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I 100% agree with you, Sarge. Thank you. I won't have to get my soap because you said it all. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you for your service. Thank you for your years and years of service. We really appreciate you. We'll give
you
another hand clap for that.
The people and taxpayers of the United States and the state of Illinois spent probably a total over my lifetime, all the military schools and training I went through, about over $1 million, I'm pretty sure. So I figure it's incumbent
right.
upon me to pass some of that knowledge back to correct some of this superstitious nonsense about firearms and firearm usage. I hear, do you realize out of a universe of 400 million guns in private hands in the United States, maybe... excluding double usages, 10 or 30,000 of them are used in criminal offenses out of the universe of 400 million guns every year.
All right.
400 million guns.
Yeah, 400 million guns approximately in private hands. Now, these people would literally, with that sort of philosophy, by saying, well, we need to have people give up their firearms, even the ones that they propose as assault weapons, which would be about the type of guns you could probably classify on that basis would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 60 million privately owned. These people
right.
would probably go fishing by saying, well, you want to catch fish, you need to drain the sea. And that way you can catch the fish.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I confiscated dozens of firearms from criminals in my career of 26 years as a police officer. And I only recall one time, once out of all those guns, dozens of guns I took away from criminals, where they were legally entitled to own them in the first place. Every one of
right.
them prohibited by some law or other from even possessing them, much less using them in a crime. This is another
right.
thing just to be utterly overlooked. I have never been afraid of law-abiding citizens owning firearm ever in my entire career. Never. Because I'm too aware of too many instances where law-abiding citizens have come to the aid of police officers in peril with their privately owned firearms.
Right.
Yep.
That's
yep.
a good
him,
that's
pretty to have that segment with this charge on the show.
Bumper sticker slogans, these repeated bumper sticker slogans that have no bearing on the reality or actuality of crime and have nothing to do with the victimization of the people or the perpetrators of the crimes. They're just tossed out there by people who, I believe, simply want to exercise power arbitrarily and fear an armed citizenry because of what the original intent of the Second Amendment was, which was not to go hunting bunny rabbits and shooting deer. That wasn't the reason they put an amendment to the Constitution involving the right to keep and bear arms. That was not the reason. And the reason it was put there is precisely the reason that many of these politicians who are or tyrannically inclined want to take them away from us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, man.
Sarge, we want
Sarge,
you to come back on our
nuts.
Show. We need you. We need you to come back on the show and just have a whole segment with you. Can you do that?
Yes.
Adam, your wish is my command. Like I said, I think I owe the taxpayers of this country some way to get some of their money back from all the money they spent training me.
Well,
yeah,
you need to email me so
good,
I can get
good.
A contact. We can set up a segment with you on it because I want you to definitely drop those jewels. Now, we want to dig into some more of that, and we just want to hear you talk.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
I'll tell you why it was. Because before I became a police officer, I believed all the gun grabbing lies and hysteria. I believed most of it. I thought the proper thing to do was to disarm most of the people in the country except for the police and the armed forces. But the reality of police work convinced me that they were lying to me about it, that everything I'd been told about the nature of crime and criminals and gun use was a lie, and it all turned out to be true. It all comported, none of it comported with my experience or the experience of the thousands of police officers I spoke to in my career. But yet still, we still have it. We got a presidential administration that's devoted to it. I mean, to this lunacy. And we've got a whole industry, practically Hollywood, that makes all billions of dollars off of gun violence, depicting it in their movies, who have some of the most vocal adherents of the nonsense.
Wow. Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
Sarge, please
amazing.
Email. Please
true.
Contact me. Please contact me. Let me give you the email address. It's point blank.
Hold on a minute. Let me get my pen out here, ma'am. Okay, point
yes,
blank.
Yes, sir, please. Point blank, firearms
with an S, firearms with an S, at gmail.com. Please email me because we definitely want to get you on the show and have a segment with just you so we can dig into some of this stuff and try to educate the masses. That's what we want to do with this show. So.
Oh, we need to. You could just do an hour-long show just on the live tool about the AR-15. It sounds incredible.
Please,
yes, sir. Yes,
please.
Yes, sir.
We want you on the show. So please email me. Email me
like
so we can get you on.
I will do that, man. I appreciate the show you're having. I appreciate the nature of your discussion. And I think it's imperative that we have some countervailing voices to this absolute unconstitutional nonsense and just sheer hysteria that we hear almost every day.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And we're going to get you on the show.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, Sarge.
I'll be happy to oblige.
All right. Thank you.
Kira, looks
so
like
you guys,
we're
definitely going to do a segment with Sarge on the show, and we want him to definitely be on there. We have another caller, you guys. Let's see.
Yeah,
so I think Sarge is shaking people up.
That's good. As they should.
Yeah. So, caller, let's see. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to Point Blank.
Yeah, I'm fine. Sarge is right on point. You know, the Constitution, the Second Amendment talks about two things. One, it talks about the militia. Then, as he said, that the non-infringement on a U.S. citizen, a person, to have and maintain a weapon. And, of course, they didn't add ammunition in there because they probably never would have had dream that you would have some fools today that want you to have a gun but not have the ammunition like we see.
Right. 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 That's the truth.
Yeah.
Y'all preaching tonight. You got to pass the collection plate.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something else, too. And they always, we always see this movement by Democrats to come to black folks, black voters, to get them to vote for them. But
come
you need to go check their position on these candidates.
Come on
and
now.
And practically
yes,
every last one of them is anti-Second Amendment. You cannot be
now.
Voting for somebody that's going to turn around and going to enact legislation that's going to go against your interests. It don't make no damn sense to do that.
It does
right.
not. It does not.
Right. Right.
And their history, especially some of these that have been around since Moses, their history on what they have done and what they have said and how they have performed is out there on sites like Ballotpedia and VoteSmart.org. Just type in one of them name and see where they stand is. See where they stand is on open borders. I talked to Danny Davis, the representative in Chicago, been around forever. I asked him, I say, doesn't it sometimes get to you about this open borders down on the southern border? I said, Pacific, you got over 800,000 black males in prison. Shouldn't they be the ones that's being rehabilitated so that they can get back into society and be productive? You know what he told me? He said there's room for everybody. What kind of damn answer
wow.
is that?
Wow.
He said it's room for everybody. When you look at the one like John Lewis did, Elijah Cummings did, their position is the same. Maxine Waters is the same. They all the same. They for open borders. Those two that was elected in Georgia just recently, Warnock and Ossoff, they're for open borders, and they're against the Second Amendment. So, anyway,
wow.
I just wanted to put that out there. I mean, you know, honest to goodness, you can't vote for people who's going to be against your interest. How did you ever move forward? That's like taking that one step forward and two or three steps backwards. You can't go no place.
Absolutely.
And I think that has a lot to do with the stagnated growth, not only in economics, but look at the academics as it applies to black children. It's just a shame. They can't compete. And it's not the kid's fault. I hope anybody say it's the kid's fault. Child don't wake up in the morning wanting to be a failure. They see all the world and possibilities in front of them.
That's
That's right.
If you don't believe me, leave him in the room by himself and come back and see everything is tore up. They don't try to do everything and recreate everything. It's just in them. They want to learn. But society, parents, family, is and politicians don't want that parent to have the power to put their child where they think is best for them, and the money follows the child. Barack Obama and the Democrats killed the D.C. voucher program, which allowed a child coming from an underprivileged background to attend schools like Sig with Friends, where his daughters attended. The money would have followed the child, and they probably could have went to a better school than where they was relegated to. Anyway, I won't take up too much time of your
show. And, you know, and the thing about that, too, is that is, you know, no one wants to talk about that. And the reality of it is, again, no one wants to talk about what's really going on. And that's how we stay behind the eight ball, because no one wants to talk about what's really going on. So I appreciate your comments as well.
And
you guys,
know,
I need to get both of y'all on there.
You know something else? Have gun safety in your schools so that when they grow up around them, they would understand what it's all about. Have gun safety in your schools. If you in a state that have concealed carry, and really open carry is guaranteed by the Constitution, more people should wear that gun casually out on the outside of their clothes so more citizens can see it and become used to seeing it.
Absolutely.
You know, I told you there's about five cities in the United States where in the city ordinance it's required to have a gun at home. One is Kennesaw, Georgia, Nelson, Georgia. Yeah. And people ain't running around killing everybody there. But I'm going to let you guys get back to your show. Appreciate for the opportunity and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Matt,
we always enjoy when you call and your comments. So thank you.
Yes. Good deal.
So, you guys, I love when our callers call in, but we have been schooled tonight, y'all. We have been truly schooled tonight.
Yeah, that's good deal.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I have a question for y'all.
I feel like
Republicans and Democrats.
Good
question, y'all. Have there ever been – I've never really gotten into to law. Not law, but just politics, right? Not until recently, once I started getting into the Second Amendment and everything. But have there ever been a Democrat that's been pro-2A? I don't think I've ever heard of a Democrat that's been pro-2A. Is it every Democrat is openly against the Second Amendment and pro this crazy thing called gun control?
But look, if we get really deep into the Democratic Party, you know what I'm saying? They have not been who we believe them to be, and you know what I'm saying, for the black community. Period.
Oh, no,
okay.
Y'all know
you're going down a rabbit hole, and I'm gonna be crying.
I know. I was just talking about this.
Because
you know,
I agree 100% with that statement.
I just think it's crazy that you know, the Virginia, here in Virginia, we had the Republican convention, I think not last week, but the week prior, two weekends ago or something like that. And every single thing on every single flyer that was sent to my house, the number one thing they're focusing on is Second Amendment. Let's bring it back to how it used to be. Pro Second Amendment. And I've seen some Democratic flyers, and it's opposite. Is that just a thing? You know, and I guess that's a rhetorical question, but I've never seen a Democrat. And I think that's just crazy that every Democratic candidate, regardless of where they sit, is anti-Second Amendment. That right there got – open your eyes, y'all. Read the fine print, and tie it all together. There's something going on.
See, yeah, I think one thing we have to stop doing is separating the parties from black and white, Republican versus black people, and actually looking at what each party stands for. Because back in the day when they first made the parties, majority of black people were Republican versus Democrat.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
That whole stigma of, oh, all black people got to be Democrats.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not always true,
nope.
You know.
Nope.
And then that's one thing that we have to stop doing, dividing the parties by color.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
We've been,
that's
like we used to say in the Marine Corps, we've been bamboozled.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hate
we've been bamboozled.
I hate it. Yeah, my new thing, Ebony, is, look, Republican, Democrat, whatever the other ones in between, I don't care what you get up on stage and you're saying. What I want you to do is earn my vote. I need you to earn my vote. And I feel as a black community, we give away our vote to just a title, Democrat.
Right.
Here's the vote. I don't need to know anything about you. I don't even need to read the fine print behind underneath that. Oh, Republican, anti. Libertarian, anti. But Democrat, I'm black and I'm proud. Oh, you're Republican, you're racist. Or you're this or you're
right.
That. Like, earn my vote. That's what I want. If you earn my vote, I don't care what you are. I'm voting for you. It looked like our favorite caller is trying to call back to you.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, caller, can you hear us?
Yeah, I wanted to call back in and make a comment when the lady mentioned that they think we Democrat. You know what the problem is that conservative blacks can't speak out. Why? Because they get fired. Ridiculed.
Come on. Yeah.
See, they can't speak out like me. Ain't nobody hurt me. But if you work for a government agency, if you work for a school district, hey, look what they did to the commander in the Air Force for speaking out at his school board meeting about this critical race teaching that they want to put in. Well, he's a parent. He's got a right to speak his mind. Why do you want to fire him for his job or demote him?
Right.
So
right.
When you are conservative, and especially, and I'm saying it like it is, when you're black, you cannot reveal your thoughts on that political basis because they would attack you.
That's
you
right about that
you.
Now.
Absolutely.
And that
absolutely.
Is racist towards you. See, racism has nothing to do about skin color. It's about the act.
Mm,
you mean to tell me if a white person pull a pancake syrup on your hair, you call him a racist? Well, what if a black person do it? The act is they poured pancake syrup on your hair.
Talk to us. Good. That's good. That's
so we got to start thinking. And get more people out to your gun club activities. Have family night. Have competition between each other, just like you do when you go roll that bowling ball down the aisle. And get them children involved, please. Okay, I see you guys.
All right, thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate it. Yes, it is. Hey, look,
I think that is so important. And we're getting so many jewels tonight, y'all. And, you know, we don't like to get into politics too much. But the fact of the matter is what you said was very interesting, Dwayne, is that, I'm going to dig into it and see. But when it comes to, and we talked about this last week, is not voting party, voting issues. So what I started, doing that, like stop voting with I'm gonna vote a straight Democratic Party ticket. No, I'm gonna look at the issue that you support, and that's how I'm voting. I don't, my mom probably would slap me right now if she knew I said that. But the thing is, it's like you got to look at each individual thing that the person stands for, and if that's in conflict with what I stand for, or my family stands for, or me, my husband and my family stand for, then why would I vote for it? Because the person is a certain party? No, I'm not doing that because when it all said and done, it's like I'm going against my morals.
I agree. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. My last name is Haynes. I am a black man, and I am a Haynes. That's what I am.
Yes.
You are the Republican. You are the Democrat because that's your job. You are a politician. That is a company that you represent. That's your brand. Your brand is you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever. Earn my vote. Earn your seat. Don't come out here talking about vote for me because, you know, you're not black if you don't vote for me. Don't come out here and just speak my language and wear Tim's and all this other nonsense, thinking that you're cool and representing the black community or the white community or the whatever communities out there. Earn our vote. But it only starts if we start making these politicians earn our vote. Stop voting because you're a Democrat or Republican. Dig deep, you know, dig deep. And then hold them accountable to it, too.
Yeah.
Accountable.
Absolutely.
And kick them out.
We the people.
Afraid to kick people
that's
out.
What that
kick
means.
Them out.
Yeah, that's what that means. We the people. Like y'all work.
And
us.
If you think about it, as firearms instructors, if you just really think about it, how could we vote for people that we know are against the very thing that we believe in?
Ain't that
oh,
something?
God.
Ain't that some twistedness?
You just stepped all on my toes because we talked about that before. I still regret my vote, and I'm just being honest. I'm not afraid to say this. I didn't want to vote Democratic Party. I did not want to, but I did it because I felt it was a better choice than what we had. But at the end of the day, I'm regretting it. Every time I look at the news feed, I'm like, oh my God, see, this is why exactly I shouldn't have done it.
You know what's so crazy? I don't regret my vote at all. You know? And this is the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to let y'all, talk, close it out. But I'm tired of hearing us, and I say us as an American community, say, I'm voting for this person because they're the lesser of two evils. What? That's the dumbest part. Crap I've ever heard. So you telling me you only voting for one? If I ask you who you voting for or why you're voting for a person, I don't need to hear the other candidate name come up. Like, why are you voting for Biden? Oh, because Trump. I don't need to hear nothing about Trump. Why are you voting for Trump? Oh, because Biden. What does that matter? Who are you voting for? I don't want to hear I'm voting because he's the lesser, he or she's the lesser of two evils, or I'm voting for this person because it's going to stop this person. Look, do your research.
Thank you.
Find the reason why you're going to vote this person. Because if we all do that, guess what? These elections will run a whole lot smoother. Because like Elliot said, we the people now are given our real, unbiased input or uninfluenced input. So that's all I got. I'm gonna get off my soapbox because I get passionate about that junk, talking about that nonsense.
That's good,
Ebony. Listen. We're coming up on 3 minutes. Ebony, close us out. Ebony, close us out. Drop us some gems.
Oh, wait, we got 32 minutes, don't we?
Oh, we going longer
today? No, we got 3 minutes.
We going longer today?
We got 3 minutes. My bad.
Oh. No, because the thing says 32 minutes. You know, I could talk for 32 more minutes.
No, it's actually 3 minutes. I don't know what we did.
Yeah, I don't know what happened either. Yeah, we've been on this.
We had a time
warp. We've been going.
Hey, Ebony, tell us folks, tell our listeners where they can find you, how they can find you. You know, close us out.
Okay. Well, you could definitely find me at Guns and Black Roses. That's my website. Facebook is Guns and Black Roses. Instagram is Guns and Black Roses. That's 2 Z's. We had a good talk. We had definitely a good talk this session. Thank you, Point Blank, for inviting me to talk with you guys. I really enjoyed it. That's basically it.
Well, thank you for coming, too. You know, I've been bugging you like, Ebony, you want to come on the show? Ebony, you want to come on the show? Ebony. So thank you.
Can I ask Ebony one question, please? Can I join Inner Peace?
No, because you're no.
I tried. You know, I'm gonna file a complaint. I'm gonna find somewhere to find a Elliot. They're holding us out, bro. They got a lot of good things going on in our feet. They're holding us out. They plotting over there. They plotting.
Well, yes, we had a great show. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Thank you, guys. Thank you to our callers for calling in and giving us that great.
Absolutely.
We don't normally get into politics too much, but the more that we talk about guns, gun rights, gun safety, those things go hand in hand, and sometimes we have to go off on those things. But, you know, thank you guys for joining. Thank everybody for listening, and we will see you guys next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
And we're going to hear Elliot's reviews on his newest purchase, the Taurus. All right, bye. That's it. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Y'all have a good night.
All right,
good night, everybody.